1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Grab your Bibles, your electronic devices, and everything. Here we go. We are in a series called The End of the World as We Know It. And we're looking at the end times and things that are going to be happening. You realize that the Bible has more than 20% of its contents is made up of prophetic things. More than 20% of the Bible talks about things that are soon to come, things that are about to happen. And we're going to be talking about something today that is pretty exciting, and it's the fact that Jesus is going to come back. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about that. So kind of looking forward to the fact that Jesus is returning. And Charity, way to set that up this morning, that Jesus is coming back. In fact, when you look at Bible prophecies, there are literally five times as many prophecies about the second coming of Jesus than there were about his first coming. So Jesus is being talked about through the Bible about his return even more than he came the first time. And so I'm pretty excited about this, because this is something that all of us need to understand, is that Jesus is going to come back, and what's that all about, and how does that work, and everything. So today we're going to kind of get an overview of what this looks like. Some of you have never heard this kind of stuff. Some of you have heard this before. Some of you probably been preached a little bit. So, you know, it's okay. So for some of you, this is review. For some of you, this is something that's going, whoa, I didn't know that was there. Sometimes it's good to come to church and hear, whoa, I didn't know that was there. Practice with me. Whoa, I didn't know that. Oh, that's too bad. I love what the Bible says in John chapter 14. Jesus was hanging out with his friends, and in John chapter 14, verse 3, he says this. He says, when everything is ready, and this is kind of a key verse for us for this whole series. And it says this, when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me wherever I am. Is that good news? That's good news. That's good news that Jesus says you don't have to worry about the end, because I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. That way you can be with me wherever I am. I like that. That's good stuff. Jesus tells us that he's going to come back, and he's going to come back like a thief in the night. And so he says that we've got to be watching and we've got to be ready, because he's going to come back in a time that we're not expecting it. Now, if you you had a robber come to your house and you knew he was going to come, you'd probably be sitting there on your chair with a gun ready for him. Right? Probably, if that's what was going to happen. In fact, that's what Jesus said. If you knew that he was going to come back, if a robber was going to come, you'd be there. Robbers don't share their intentions, do they? Thieves don't share their intentions. They don't say, by the way, I'm getting ready to steal from you. They don't do that, do they? No. They come back, and they come to your house, and they're very quiet, and they're very, very sneaky about it. And so Jesus says, hey, you know, you need to be ready, because when I come back, I'm going to come back like that. I'm going to come back in a way that you're not expecting. I'm going to come back at a time when you're not really looking for it. And this is what he says. Look at Matthew chapter 24. We looked at this a little bit last week. It says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. You must also be ready at all time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Now, last week we spent the whole service basically looking at this one chapter, Matthew chapter 24. And we talked about some of the very bold statements that Jesus said are going to be some of the signs of the times. Some of the things that you're going to be looking for when Jesus gets ready to return. And these are some of the things we talked about. We talked about four D's, if you remember last week. And if you didn't, you might even want to flip your outline over and write these down on the back of your outline. Because these are the four D's, some things to be looking for when Jesus returns. And the first D is this, that there's going to be deception. There's going to be deception. In other words, there's going to be some folks that are going to creep into the church and are going to be throughout the world who are going to claim to be the Messiah. This is a guy that I talked about last week who's over in Serbia, who runs around calling himself Christ. And he's got over 10,000 people that follow him because he says he's the Messiah. There's another D that we find in Matthew chapter 4, and it's the idea of disasters. There are going to be some disasters. There's going to be wars, and the Bible says, and rumors of wars. The Bible says that there's going to be some famines, that people are going to be, that they're going to be dying from malnutrition. And then there are going to be some earthquakes. And I don't know about you, but I've seen an awful lot of earthquakes in the last few years. So there's some natural disasters and things that are going to take place. Then the third D is this, is that there's going to be death. There's going to be persecution. Jesus said that people are going to die for their faith. There are going to be people that are going to be put to death because they name the name Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. We are seeing this played out on television and on the internet right now, where people are losing their heads because they name the name of Jesus Christ. These are Coptic Christians, Egyptian Christians, who have lost their lives all for the one reason that they would not deny Jesus Christ, and they've lost their lives. And so the death and persecution is one of the things that's going to happen. And then dominance is the fourth D, and the idea here is that sin is going to be rampant. There's going to be an increase of wickedness. And that there's a whole lot of sin is going to be happening in our world, and it's going to get bigger and more prevalent. And so Jesus said, because when you see these four things, deception, disasters, death, and dominance, and of course I've lumped them together a little bit, he says, when you see all of these things, you need to be watching and be ready. Because the time that he is returning is fast approaching. And so, when you see these things, Luke tells us that Jesus said that we can lift up our head because our redemption is close behind. If you're a King James person, you know the Bible says where your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus, close. So when we see all of these things that we've been seeing, we need to lift up our head. We need to be ready. We need to be watching because Jesus is coming back. He's returning. And so this morning, I want to look at that return. I want to look at what that's all about. And there are literally a number of different beliefs when it comes to this thing of the return of Jesus Christ. And the study of all of this is a study in theology called eschatology. Eschatology. And eschatology means nothing more than the study of last things. And so, there are a number of opinions. There are a number of things that come into it. I'm going to try to give you what I believe the Bible says. It's what I believe. And if you don't believe that, that's okay. Some will believe some will believe others. But I'm going to give you what I believe the Bible says. And I think most people, most scholars will kind of land in this area too. So I will try my very best to walk you through this, to help you understand what it's all about. And in the first century, or the early church, Christians were convinced that Jesus was coming back. And they actually believed he was coming back then. They actually believed that Jesus was coming back right then and there, and they were just ready for him all the time. They thought that Jesus was going to be back in with them right away, that he went away for just a couple of months and he came right back. Well, obviously, we know 2,000 years later, Jesus has not returned. That doesn't mean that he is not returning. That just means he hasn't returned yet. You got that? So don't ever let anybody tell you, well, he hasn't come yet, he's never going to come. Because he's going to come back like a thief in the night. And just about the time you are lulled to sleep is the time he's going to come back. And so he says, get ready. Watch. Be ready. And so there were these Christians in Thessalonica, a town, who were concerned about Jesus coming back. And they were concerned about their friends who had died, who believers who had passed on. And they were concerned that because they were dead, they wouldn't have a chance to see Jesus come back, and they'd still be dead. Well, Paul wanted to put that to rest real quick. And so he wrote this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, several verses, where he lays that idea to rest, and he says, let me tell you some other things about Jesus' return. This is a classic passage that I just love to preach. In fact, at the very end of this passage of Scripture, it says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. The whole idea of this passage is to encourage you that Jesus is coming back. So when you walk out of this place today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that Jesus is returning, and you don't have to be afraid. Here's some good news. So let's look at it from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 13. Now, just before I hit this, I just wanted to say to you, I read out of what's called the New Living Translation. This is not the Living Bible. It's the New Living Translation. I had some questions about that last week, and I sometimes I don't always say that. So this passage and all the text that you'll see is out of the New Living Translation. From time to time, I'll pull out of a different translation, and if I do pull out of a different translation, I'll usually put that in parentheses so you can see what that's coming from. You're welcome to read out of any translation you want to read out of, except for the Jehovah's Witnesses translation. I don't want you reading out of that one, okay? All right, so here we go. Let's look at it. Verse 13. And I'm going to read the whole passage, then we're going to break it down. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what happens to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves, called the resurrection. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up. Everybody say caught up. In the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. And here's that verse that I mentioned a few minutes ago. So encourage each other with these words. And that's what I want to do today. I want to give you some encouragement. Anybody like to be encouraged today? But here's some good news today. First of all, number one, if you're following along your outline, Jesus is going to come back. And so we're talking about the return. Everybody say return. Return. And so we're looking at the return that Christ is coming again. And once again, from the verse that we read way back from John chapter 14, it says this: when everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. What he's saying is he's going to come back and get us. Is that good news? Oh, I'm looking forward to being got. Huh? I want to be got because he's going to come and get me. My English is pretty bad, isn't it? Amy's an English teacher, and every time I say stuff like that, she just looks like, he's going to bring me back to eighth grade. He's going to come back and get us because I want to be got. Here's the good news. How many of you have ever seen the Arnold Schwarzenegger movies when he goes, I'll be back? Huh? This is Jesus' Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Actually, Arnold Schwarzenegger was copying Jesus because Jesus said when he left, I'll be back. Right? He's coming back. Now, in the early church, way back when, in the early church, when they wanted to say hello to somebody, even before the early church, they were Jews, and one of the things they would say to people is shalom. The word shalom is a Hebrew word that means peace. Okay? Well, in the early church, as the church began to grow, instead of walking up saying, hey, how's it going? How are you today? What's going on? Hey, you know, like we would say to somebody, they would say something a little different. Now, remember whose rule they were under. The early church was under the Roman rule. And because they were under Roman rule, they had to understand that every person under Roman rule had to declare that Caesar was God. And so there was this idea that when they came into contact with everybody, they would have to declare that Caesar was God. Well, if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, Caesar is not God. Jesus is God. And so they couldn't with any confidence be able to say, Caesar is God. And because they would not call Caesar Lord, because they would not call him God, many of them were considered traitors. They were persecuted. They were put to death. The morale of the believers had to be lifted in some way. And the way that they lifted that morale was by their faith in the belief that Jesus is going to be God. And so they believed with everything they had that Jesus would come back. And so when they would walk up to a friend or to a believer, instead of saying shalom or peace, they changed it and they would say Maranatha. Maranatha. Everybody say that with me. Maranatha. And Maranatha means our Lord is coming, or come, O Lord. Now, you've been around the church world for 30 years. You know that there's a 40 years. You know there's a musical group out of California called Maranatha. They didn't start that. Okay? It started a whole lot longer than that. In fact, it was part of the early church. And the early church said Maranatha, and it meant our Lord is coming. Maranatha. And so here's what I want you to understand today. This is what the early church was doing. They were saying our Lord is coming back. And so they were anticipating Jesus' return. My friend, you and I need to be anticipating Jesus' return as well. Maranatha wasn't just for the early church. Maranatha is for you and me. My friend, Jesus is coming back. Are you looking for him today? Jesus is returning. Maranatha, our Lord is coming. And that should be something that should just not be, yeah, okay. We go to sleep. No. This should be, Jesus is coming back. I can't wait. You guys are going to sleep on me. Do you know who Jesus Christ is? Let me help you with it. Listen to me, my friend. We need to be anticipating it. Charity knocked it out of the park this morning. Jesus is coming. People, get ready. Are we excited about the fact that Jesus is coming back? Listen, he forgave me of my sin. He cleansed me from all of the things I've done wrong. He's given me new life, and he's my best friend, and he's coming home. He's coming to get me, to take me home. I can't wait. How about it? Maranatha, our Lord is coming. Jesus is coming back. And look what Paul says, verse 14 again. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, look at this, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. Now, some of you, when you, in your translation, it says, it talks about people who have fallen asleep. Now, we're not talking about Lanny who's sleeping back here. That's not what we're talking about. No. We're not talking about people who are bored by this message and are snoring in church. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. You know, back in the 1700s, they used to have people in church that had big long poles and feathers on them that would wake you up with a feather underneath your nose. Maybe I should try that. Landon, you want to be on feather committee? Yeah, okay, all right. He's not talking about people who have fallen asleep. What he's talking about, people who have fallen asleep in Jesus. They have died in the Lord. They have passed away. And what he's trying to say to them, trying to say to these folks is, hey, look, just because they have died in the Lord doesn't mean they're going to miss out on his second coming. In fact, what he's saying, he's coming back. Jesus is coming back, not just for you and me, but he's coming back for the people who have died already. Right? That's what he's talking about. And he's saying that there are going to be people who have died. And we know there's 2,000 years of people who have died who have been Christians, right? So when Jesus comes back, he's not just coming back for people who live in 2015 if he comes back today. He's coming back for everybody who lived since he returned. And you know what? I believe he's coming back to the Old Testament folks. He's coming back to believers. He's coming back to people. And they're going to be raised with him. And look, let's continue. Let's look at what he says in verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout. Everybody say shout. With the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. Now it says the Lord himself is going to come down. And here's what I think is kind of cool. Sometimes in the Bible, God speaks. He says words. God spoke and created the world, right? Sometimes God whispers. Even in a still, small, there's going to be a shout. I'll wake you up. I hope you're not asleep when that happens. I hope you're ready to go.
I hope you're ready to go, because Jesus is going to come back. There's going to be a shout, and the voice of the archangel, maybe it's Michael, is going to shout and blow the trumpet, and guess what's going to happen? This is going to be the greatest victory in all of history, and the dead are going to begin to rise. Isn't that good news? The trumpet's going to sound. The archangel's going to shout. The Lord's going to return. And those who have died who are going to rise from their grave in verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise first. These are the people who have already followed Christ as their Savior. And the second thing that's going to happen is number two on your outline, and it's the rapture. Living Christians are taken away. Verse 17. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So after the dead in Christ rise first, if that happens in your lifetime, if it happens in my lifetime, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to be raptured. Everybody say rapture. Now, some of you have heard this word, but let me tell you something. I'm going to be right up front with you. The word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. The thought is, the idea is, the whole gist of it is there, but the word rapture is not found in the Bible. It comes from a Greek word, harpazo. I think I've got, there it is, harpazo. Now, you heard me say a D in there, that the Z that's there has a D sound to it in Greek. And so there's a little guttural sound in the H. I'm not real good at doing that at all stuff. So, but it's harpazo, and it literally means to be caught up. So if you look at your translation, at that verse, in verse 17, it says, we who are alive on earth will be caught up. And the idea of being caught up is this Greek word harpazo, and it means to be grabbed. It means to be snatched. It means to be seized. It means to be rescued. It means to be rescued. And there's coming a day when Jesus is going to rescue us. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to being rescued. Hello? So he says this idea of being caught up to be rescued. So let's say it together. Harpazo. Say it with me. Harpazo. Okay, so now you've got a little Greek in underneath you. It means to be taken out. You're going to be here 1 second and you're gone. Just like that. Just 1 minute you're here and 1 minute you're gone. Now, love type movies always talk about being raptured in love. Wrong rapture. Okay? Wrong rapture. You know, that's not what it is. We're talking about being here one moment and the next moment being gone. Now, that's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. Now, there's a lot of theories about this, when this is going to happen. There are actually four. There are four theories about when this is going to happen. Now, some of you know it, so if you know what the four theories are, just let me tell it, okay? Don't interrupt me, Marvin. All right, so there are four theories about the rapture. There's the pre-trib rapture, and the pre-trib rapture means, well, let me just tell you what they are. They're the pre-trib, the pre-trib, mid-trib, the post-trib, and the pan-trib. All right, so here we go. The pre-trib rapture is this. The pre-trib rapture is that before the seven-year tribulation, Jesus is going to come back in the clouds, and the dead in Christ and Christians will rise and be raptured up, and we will escape that seven-year period of tribulation. Then there's the mid-trib rapture, which believes that 3.5 years into the seven-year period, that before it really gets bad, there's a bad portion and a really bad portion, and before it gets really, really bad, that Jesus is going to come back and the dead in Christ and Christians are going to be rising. You're going to be escaped out of that. Post-trib rapture believes that following the 7 years before what's called the millennial reign, that is when this rapture is going to happen, that Jesus is going to come back and the dead in Christ and everybody's going to rise. That's the post-trib rapture. The pan-trib rapture believes that everything's going to pan out in the end. Oh my goodness. Boy, that was just as flat. That's a joke.
Sometimes I should just go right. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I don't know. That was gone. That was supposed to be funny. Marvin, you've even preached that before. I know. All right. So here we go. There's actually only three: pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. All right. Now some folks will throw millennialism into it, and is it pre-millennial, post-millennial? Here's what I believe. I believe that Jesus is coming back before the tribulation, before the millennium. Pre-millennial, pre-tribulation. That's what I believe. Now, there's a lot of evidence for some of these other issues, and I'm not going to say that if you believe something else that you're wrong and you're a heretic. No. This is just what I believe. I just believe God is that good that he's going to pull us out. I just really think before that happens that he's going to pull us out. And that's kind of what I hope. And here's the cool part about it. He kind of alludes to it in Matthew chapter 24. And so if you're looking with me in Matthew chapter 24, let's look at a couple of verses, Katie, if you have them there. We're starting in verse 39, the last half of 39, and it says this. This is the way it will happen. When the Son of Man comes, two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding flour out at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too, a verse we've already read, so you too must keep watch, for you do not know when the day of the Lord is coming. So look what he says here. He says we need to be ready, because there's going to come a time when two people are going to be working. They're in an office and they're working on their computers. One's going to be taken away and one's going to be left. And the one taken away is a believer. The one who's left is a non-believer. That's the why this happens this way. He also says that, you know, maybe two people are going grocery shopping in their middle of Walmart. One's taken, one's left. You might be sitting beside somebody right now in this room that if Jesus were to come back, somebody might go and somebody would stay. My hope is that if the rapture would happen, every one of you would go. Some of you look at me and say, Scott, isn't Jesus playing favorites here? Why is it that somebody gets to go and somebody doesn't get to go? He's playing favorites. He likes you better than he likes him.
That's what it is, isn't it? That's what it is. Yeah.
No. Here's the good news. Oh, I love this. Are you ready for this? This is good. Listen. You get to choose whether you go or stay. Come on! That's good news! You get to make the decision as to whether or not you get to go or you get to stay. Now, I don't care if it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, or pan-trib, which there isn't one. So, I don't care. But you get to make the decision. You can stay
or you can go.
You hear a song like that? Should I stay or should I go?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Huh? You get to make that decision. Well, you'd say, Scott, what do you think? I am a fool. I don't want to go through that mess. I want to go. It's your choice. There's a whole bunch of people out there that choose every day not to go. They live their life as if it doesn't matter. And so they just live their life saying, I don't care if I go or not. Oh, I hope I get to go. Here's the good news. You don't have to hope no more. Now, let me understand. You don't have to hope whether you go or not. We hope in Jesus that he is coming. That's where we put our hope. But you don't have to just say, maybe I'll go, maybe not. I've been a good boy. I did good. And so because I did good, I can go. Then look at the way it works is that we get to make the decision. I think that's kind of cool. So Jesus tells us we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. We need to get it together. Because Maranatha, our Lord is coming. Maranatha, Jesus is coming again. Maranatha, Jesus is returning, my friend, and I can't wait. How about it? He's coming back. So people get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. This world is not our home. There's another place prepared for us. Number three, not only is there a rapture,
But number three, there's a reunion. A reunion. And Christians will be with God forever. Verse 17. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth, and be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage the Lord. Encourage each other with these words. Look at the phrase. We will be in the clouds. Be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You're going to get to meet the Lord in the air. Face to face, you're going to see Jesus. And then you're going to be with the Lord forever. How about that? You're going to be with the Lord forever. We used to sing in way back when. I don't know if you guys ever sing in the UB, but we used to sing in the AG. We used to sing a song. There's going to be a meeting in the air. In a sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. My friend, there's going to be a reunion with me and Jesus, and I can't wait. And that's going to take up a whole lot of stuff, but I'm going to see my grandfather. I'm going to see my grandmother. I'm going to see my great-grandmother. I'm going to see my great-great-grandmother who I never met. I'm going to see my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather who I never met. My friend, there's going to be an incredible reunion with the dead in Christ, and we're going to be there with them, and we're going to see Jesus. That's going to be the best part of the whole thing. I got to be careful. I'm going to start preaching. All right, here we go. What's that going to be like? What's it going to be like to see Jesus face to face? Well, let me tell you something. Those of you who have an ache or a pain in your body, you're not going to have an ache or pain in your body anymore. My friend, you're not going to have that knee with you no more, huh? Will it? No more cancer. No more cancer. It's gone. It's gone. There's not going to be any more sin. There's not going to be any more of those impure thoughts that you've been having about your neighbor. No more of that stuff. There's not going to be any more heartache. Not going to be any more sadness, no more brokenness, no more disease, no more sickness, no more poverty, no more starving children. How about that? No more divorce, no more loneliness, no more cancer. We're talking about being with the Lord forever. And if there's anything of pain within you, if there's any mourning, if there's any sadness, and that tear begins to come, He's going to wipe that tear from your eye, and you'll never have that sadness again. Oh, good news, my friend. Jesus is coming. People, get ready.
So what do we do? What do we do in this end of times? When the end of the world comes, how do we do it? Well, let me tell you. You need to be afraid. You need to dig a great big bunker, and you need to store a whole bunch of food, and you need to cover your head, and you need to be afraid.
No. No. We lift up our head, and we remember
that He saved us. He can deliver us. And should He choose not to deliver me, then praise God, I'll see Him just a little faster.
Hello?
So what do? Verse 18 says we encourage one another with those words. Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Maranatha, our Lord is coming.
Maranatha, our Lord is coming, my friend.
And that's what we get excited about. We get excited about it. So what do in the meantime? What do? How do we handle it? There's a great big chunk of scripture that I want to look at in Luke chapter 15. It should be on your outline. If you don't have it, it's up here on the screen. And it says this, but let me reveal to you, it's the same idea, let me stop there, it's the same idea that we find in 1 Thessalonians. Paul is talking again, he's talking in 1 Corinthians, he's talking to a whole different audience, but it's the same idea, all right? So that's what he says. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is sounded. How fast is a blink of an eye? Everybody blink their eye. That's pretty fast, isn't it? Blink your eye one time. That's pretty fast, isn't it? You know how fast that is? Science has measured that. They've taken pictures of that, and they've slowed it way down. You know those slow motion cameras and stuff? 1/20th of a second. In 1/20th of a second, you're going to be changed. You don't have a chance to wait. I know too many people say, I'll just wait.
My friend, you don't have a chance to wait. You get to make the decision. Should I stay or should I go? Right? You don't have a chance. 1/20th of a second. He continues here in verse, help me, where am I? From the trumpet sounds, middle of verse 52. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. We're going to be changed. Verse 53. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die, and our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Whenever I do a funeral at the graveside, this is the passage of Scripture that I read every time, because for a believer. Because I believe that whether you're dead or you're alive, our bodies are going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. We're going to get this heavenly body, this glorious body that Paul talks about in Philippians. Then our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die. This scripture will be fulfilled. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Verse 56. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law that gives sin its power. Look at this. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. How about that, my friend? He gives us victory over sin and death. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong, immovable. He does not say, dig a bunker and stick your head in it like an ostrich. What does He say? He says, be strong, be immovable. You're victorious. You're a conqueror. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Look at that last part again. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do is ever useless. What does that mean? That means that you need to serve Him with everything you do. My friend, it means that you need to praise Him with everything you do. It means when we come together and we gather, and even when we're not gathering, we need to worship Him with everything that we've got. That means that the things that you have, the things that you think you own, they're not yours. They belong to Him, and we need to give to Him with everything that you've got. We need to share His love with everything we have. We need to live with intensity. Listen, if you knew that Jesus was coming back on Tuesday, would there be some changes you'd make in your life? I would hope not. I would hope not. I would hope that you would be living today with as much intensity as if Jesus were coming back on Tuesday as if He's coming back on Friday or next month or 10 years from now. Because we live with the hope that Jesus could come back at any moment. So we need to be ready at any moment and not just change things. Listen, if you've got someone in your family that doesn't know Jesus Christ, I tell you what, you probably ought to tell them about Jesus. Hello? Jesus is coming back. He could be back tomorrow. He could come back today. Lanny says, no, I hope not, because I want that concert tonight. Lanny's messing the whole thing up. He's praying against Jesus coming back. No, Lanny, I'm picking on you. Not because that's what you did. You didn't do that. But that's what many of us have done. Many of us have done that. I know I did when I was 18. Fell in love. And I kept saying, Jesus, don't come back. Jesus, don't come back. I was praying against Him. We don't need to be praying against the return of Jesus Christ. We need to have our eyes focused on Him, because I got to tell you, anything on the other side of this earth is so much better than what's going to happen on this side of this earth. So stop praying against it. You're holding up. Let's go. Stop that stuff. Then Maranatha. Maranatha. Jesus is coming back. You knew that Jesus was coming back on Tuesday. What would you do? You'd worship Him. If you knew Jesus was coming back on Tuesday, you'd live your life righteously. You wouldn't do one thing. If you knew He was coming back on Tuesday, you would never mess up the next 48 hours. Huh? You would stop the thoughts. You would stop the talking. You would stop the gossip. You'd live your life in such a way that there would be nothing you would do wrong if you knew He was coming back on Tuesday. you knew he was coming back on Tuesday, there wouldn't be a person you'd run into. You'd try to tell him, hey, Jesus is coming back. You'd live your life in such a way that there would be, you were ready. It would just happen. You'd be ready. I'm serious about that commitment. My friend Maranatha. Maranatha! The Lord is coming. Paul says, be enthusiastic. We're calling. Paul gave some more instruction in another passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians, Paul gave some other instruction. Actually, it's the same passage that he's read in the chapter earlier. And he was giving instruction about this thing that we do up here with these praise. And he gave this instruction, and he called it the Lord's Supper, and we called it communion. And one of the things that he said about this communion stuff is that when you take it, you proclaim, you announce, you shout that the Lord's coming back in an offering. That's what you do. Oh, yeah, there's other things that are involved in it too. We need to examine ourselves, we need to look inside, we need to make sure our hearts are right, we need to make sure everything's ready. But one of the big pieces of this whole thing is, yes, we remember the death, the burial of resurrection of Christ, but also remember he's coming back. You're not. You're not. Some of those questions are coming. Just because we're going to receive the Lord's Supper here at the end of the service. Let me just say while they're grabbing the trays, what we do here is not a ritual and a mushroom. What we do here is not a ritual. What we are doing here is a memorial. It's a proclamation. And you don't have to be a member of this church to receive. What this means is, anybody who believes that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of your life, you can participate. So as the gentlemen are passing out the elements, I'm going to ask you just to take them and hold on to them. Just hold on to them. And after everyone is served, I'm going to come back. I'm going to read a little passage of Scripture. We're going to receive together. And we're going to proclaim the Lord's death. And we're going to proclaim His soon coming. Maranatha. Maranatha.